Welcome to Marvel Champions Podcast, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game. I'm your host, Scott, and with me as always, my co-host, Ryan.
Yes, we are here at the glorious end of the year.
The end of 2023. Was it a good year for Marvel Champions? Or is 2024 looking to be better?
Well, 2023 did have some ups and downs, but I think we shall discuss it with our first episode of, our first end of the year recap award episode.
Ooh, award ceremony!
Insert some award music right here.
Trumpets and stuff. Okay. Do I get to insert the little soundbite of when I need to kick you off the stage to accept the award?
Hey, there you go. You can do that. Do some clapping or.
Ooh, you're right. Some claps. Like some cheers. Should I put some in cheers, any slaps? Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there.
Hey, you got options. Options. I'm in. Basically, we decided that we are going to do just go over the whole year of releases and what was good and what we saw improvements of and what was the best of the best of the best, sir. There's a Men in Black reference for you there, Scott.
Thanks.
And hopefully you all will agree because our word is final. So there is no negotiation.
Yeah, if this has all been champion approved, so... What you hear here is, you know, truth of the game for 2023.
True that.
All right. Ryan, I thought we'd just jump right in with some rapid-fire face-offs.
Ooh, rapid-fire hot takes.
And these are only due to pairings of when they released their counterparts. Some of these are going to be tough.
I agree.
I think some will be easy, but some will be tough. So we're going to go way back in February of 2023. Yeah, we were still in the last cycle, the X-Men cycle. And released was Rogue and Gambit.
Ooh,
so Rogue ready, Gambit. Fight! Who are you taking in this face-off?
So now we're just saying who was the best hero out of the pairing, right?
That's what I think so. I think we'll just talk about who we think is the better hero. Maybe most versatile, most replayability, maybe their shtick, like how fun their way to play was.
Yeah. I think this one's going to be Rogue for me.
Ooh, that is a hot take. I'm going Gambit.
Ooh, my gosh. My man. Well, I'm simply choosing Rogue because I think Rogue has just a unique playstyle with being able to her touched card and being able to just choose villains, minions, allies, heroes, whatever you need to get whatever you need. And there can be some really unique opportunities with her cards. And she's got some good stuff. She's got Retaliate. She's got Confuse. She has Aerial, she's got Stalwart, Overkill, Card Draw, whatever. There's a way to get it somehow. And so I think she is pretty adaptive to all sorts of scenarios.
All right. Yeah. I liked Rogue. This one's a tough one. My only thing with Rogue is when I looked down when I would play Rogue, I would have nothing in my play area. Sometimes I would have her jacket and sometimes I wouldn't. She's very event card heavy.
That's and, for sure.
I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit of a setup, upgrade support kind of player. So she makes me play different than I normally do. But that Gambit, on the other hand, he does have a lot of events, but he can do a lot. And charging up some charge counters and throwing out like a Royal Flush or something that's overkilling and... I don't know. I liked the feel of Gambit. I felt like you were Gambit, throwing cards, things like that, thwarting on Alter Ego. You know, he kind of introduced some of those cool things like that. I think he was just a well put together character.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. He's got some very interesting, how would I say it, non-traditional champions timing with his thwart on alter ego and just attacks on his hero side. Almost kind of feels like a She-Hulk in that manner, where She-Hulk is kind of more of a thwarter in alter ego than in hero. But yeah, he does have some interesting things he can do. When I played him, I just thought he just was more attack. It was kind of all about attack because of his ability. But he I know you can do some interesting Justice builds in alter ego with him.
Yeah, and he came with Justice, so I think he's well capable of thwarting and justicing all around.
All right, so the winner of that face-off is Rogue. Good job. All right, that's next.
That one's a split decision. All right, so okay, next.
Have the community decide that one.
Okay, all right. Next came out in the box of Next Evolution was Cable and Domino.
You first or me?
This one's tough because usually when we play, one of us gets one and one gets the other. We both play them, but I think we play the other or the one we kind of choose initially more than the other.
Yep. Yep.
It depends on what your focus is on this. These characters are, if we're going to talk like stronger, I would have to say Cable, but if we're going to talk about more fun, I like Domino. So I'm going to go with Domino. I feel like her play style, the way you can kind of create your own luck, you get a little bit of setup and then you just start rolling, discarding those cards off the top of the deck, getting lucky, being able to pull some of those discard cards out of the deck, and she has a pug, so.
That, I will give you that. She does have a pug, and that's pretty cool.
But I'm going to have to go with Domino.
Okay. I respect it. I respect it, because I have seen you play her and just see the crazy things you've done, and I was very impressed. I just was not able to get that same feeling when I played her, and I have to say Cable's better.
I knew it, because you are the player side scheme guy.
Yeah, well, I do love side schemes. He is the player side scheme person, and side schemes aside, which you can't really with Cable, his overall package is kind of straightforward. He has his attack, he has his thwart, there's no crazy things, but he, with those side schemes, it changes how he operates and how powerful he truly could be. And so I will ding him on fun. And I think Domino is a more fun character, but overall strength and what he brought to the game, it's Cable for sure.
See, I feel like these two characters, their aspect cards are kind of irrelevant to a point. You just kind of stuff their cards, their decks with the cards that make them better, and a lot of them are basics. Or in Cable's case, they're all side schemes, because you can pull side schemes from any aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I would say Domino has better cards in basic than any aspect, which does allow her to be any aspect, but the additional cards are going to come from more from the basic pool than anything else.
That was probably like my biggest thing with Domino, is I felt like her pre-con was completely worthless. Like, I think I literally took out like every single aspect card out of her. I think I kept in like one ally and one random Overwatch or something, just because I knew you were going to be Thornton.
Yeah. It normally you're not Justice, so I think that was part of the problem. You still played her Justice for the campaign.
But yeah.
Yeah. For that campaign, that whole series, she did not work. But you have done other games with other aspects, and they have done better.
Sure. For you. She's got other things to do, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll go Domino winner. We'll go split decision. Okay.
I think the next one, though, we're going to win on.
Okay.
Be neutral.
So released together in September, I think it was, Angel and Psylocke. Why don't you take a stab at this one?
Was that like a hint for Psylocke?
I mean, it was just a little play on word, just Psylocke.
Well, I think people are expecting me to say Psylocke, but it is absolutely Angel.
Yeah, definitely Angel.
Yeah. I even though I do like Psylocke, Angel just, he's just overall better. Can't beat that.
Yeah, his use, versatility and usefulness in either side to kind of do what you need to do and flipping, and I don't know, he's just good.
Yeah. No, I think this one isn't as hard of a choice for, at least for us, apparently. But as a community, I think most would probably go with Angel. He's also just more popular.
Yeah. I think there's a community around Psylocke, but I think it just didn't translate as well. Is she a bad character for Marvel Champions? I don't think that. I don't think she's up there on characters. She has her time and her place. She can be fun to play, but...
Yeah, yeah. And we have been notified recently, which we might talk about another time, but she might have a kind of a broken combo.
Oh, yeah.
That
got a nice little tip. Maybe discovered. Yeah, she got a good little broken combo.
But overall, yeah, for multiplayer and solo, Angel definitely takes the cake.
Definitely. All right.
All right.
Next release, was it November? Maybe. Sure. X-23 and Deadpool.
So this one's an interesting one. So yeah. I'm going to make... Do you want to go first? Because I have a caveat to mine.
Mine, I'll go first. Mine has a little bit of caveat too. I know a lot of people like Deadpool, but I find him more as like a meme character, unfortunately. He was fun to play. He plays very different. He does not play the way I like to play. I'm not a rush character for the most part player, and I'm not a risk taker. Risk reward. So I've had a lot of fun trying different things with X-23, and I personally think she's the better out of the two.
I don't disagree with you. My caveat is with Deadpool, that he does bring the pull aspect to the game. My thoughts on the pull aspect later, but I think he does bring a unique way to play, and I think he is a strong hero, and I think he's going to be work for a lot of players, but I think overall consistency, X-23 wins, and so I would also choose X-23.
All right, Ryan, let's transition over to some villains. So 2023 brought us five new scenarios. They were all in the Next Evolution campaign box, and... let's just jump right into it. So because there's five, we can't do a full head-to-head. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the Marauders against each other, and then the winners of the Marauders are going to fight Juggernaut. And then we'll have Sinister and Strife duke it out.
Excellent.
All right, Marauder 1, Marauder 2. Was it Morlock, Siege, and On the Run?
Yep. I'm going with Marauder 1. I just think it's a very solid first scenario. It tells a story, and it's a solid scenario for me.
I'm going to be right there with you. I think Marauder 2, or On the Run, is good. I think it introduced a lot of interesting mechanics with, if you've got a Marauder, then the villain is going to scheme, which is kind of a new thing. Kind of had feelings of Green Goblin a little bit. Kind of some unconventional villain turn kind of stuff, which I liked. But I think overall, on the Morlock Siege, the first one, was just a more well-rounded kind of progression scenario, which I thought played well.
Yeah. I really like the tempo of it. Being able to, you've got three rounds to kind of figure out your life, and then it hits the gas pedal and it's go time. So now, I think that's a big win for me.
Not to discount On the Run. On the Run kind of has that tempo change too, which I do like.
Yeah.
So they're both well matched, but I think I think Marauder 1's going to squeak it out. So, Marauder 1 or Juggernaut? Warlock Siege, Juggernaut.
I think the community would say Juggernaut, but I'm still going to go with Marauder 1 for me.
I'm going to be right there with you. I think Juggernaut's good, but I think he has a little bit of luck, whether it's his luck or your luck, being in whosoever favor can make the game either just like really quick and you get slaughtered, or you get lucky and just get a good set of circumstances and can keep him with his helmet off for a long time and just beat up on him. And it's got the Hope Summers, which she's a little bit of a, you know, cheat code in some cases.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that he's very swinging in many ways. I think what kills me is I do tend to like more the story-driven scenarios, and Marauder 1 has that story feel to it, and Juggernaut doesn't. It just feels like he just pops up, and it's like a Capcom versus Marvel video game. He just pops up, and he's the villain that you have to beat.
Yeah,
there's just not much story going on.
I will say I did find it fun. We had one where something happened and he schemed out when we were in Alter Ego. I think we both went to Alter Ego thinking we were good. Yeah. And his main scheme popped and we both just got like devastated. Because he like put on an extra token, he charged us, and yeah, it was not good.
Oh man, yeah, he can hit very hard for sure.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think Marauder 1 in a face off is the better of the two scenarios. Like if I had to pull out the two to play with somebody new, it would be Marauder 1.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Sinister Strife, who's it gonna be?
In a head-to-head matchup, I just don't like those attachments and Strife. I gotta go with Mr. Sinister on this one. Even though he has like permanent stuff that goes on and he can be kind of difficult, I like his pace and tempo. He really puts it on you quick, but then it kind of shifts and slows down and kind of changes the way the game is being played. Mm-hmm. Strife does have some elements like that, but I feel like Strife's, you just kind of pick a path and just gotta go with it.
Yeah, it's his story. I don't know what the right word is, but it does play like a story. You gotta go through the schemes, but it just didn't land as strong as Mr. Sinister for me. Even though it didn't have that same like story weave of a Hela or something, it still told a story. It still built up the scenario. And it made you kind of think like, oh, you know, if I dilly-dally too long, Mr. Sinister is just getting stronger. And I just enjoyed it more. I think the other thing that notches Strife down for me is I felt like he played a lot like Magneto for me. I felt like we were just playing another Magneto, and I didn't like that.
My other big thing with Strife is you get to that late game, and it becomes very difficult to play things. And it just adds a little bit of like frustration for me.
Yeah.
Like I don't mind being penalized, but it felt a little frustrating.
That shift of tempo of, hey, draw two cards, but everything costs one more. Man, that is, I think we talked about in the review. I like the idea of it, but playing it just didn't feel good.
In practicality, it's brutal.
Yeah, it was very hard and difficult, and we've beaten it. I mean, I don't know if we've actually lost Strife, but I've definitely enjoyed my games with Sinister more.
Yeah, no, I will. If we're going in more enjoyable, I would say Mr. Sinister is definitely a more enjoyable scenario. Strife's not bad, but it's a hard scenario, or it can be a frustrating scenario.
Yeah. I think it is important to note that none of the heroes or villains that we've talked about, none of them I actually have disliked. I've liked them all, but there are some that are there. There's good, there's better, and there's best.
There's winners and losers.
That's right.
But if we're talking about Marvel Champions, first,
yeah, if you ain't first, you're last. All right.
Thanks, Ricky.
All right, man. Shall we go to the next?
Yeah, I think we're gonna give an aspect award.
Ooh.
This is the most improved aspect, or if you want to wildcard it and throw it out to the new aspect, we can definitely throw that out there. I figured we would talk maybe just a little bit about each of them, and then we'll give the award.
Okay, so we do an overview first and then award.
Yeah, nothing crazy, okay. But...
Okay. All right. All right. Well, then why don't you take aggression, because you play aggression more than I do.
Yeah, I'll take aggression. I feel like aggression did not get a bunch of love in this round of, or this wave of heroes. Because the only aggression player we got was X-23. And I felt like her cards, she had a couple reprints. She does have the one where if you've got a side scheme in the victory after you attack, I think it's called Critical Hit. Mm-hmm. That one I feel like is pretty good. It's two cost. After you can stun an enemy. Stunning for two isn't great, but I feel like it gives heroes that don't have a way to stun now, which is kind of nice. But other than that, I felt like aggression didn't get much except for the direct approach. It's an one cost upgrade that lets you assign, you attach it to a side scheme, and it gains assault. And assault's a new keyword that uses the attack value instead of the thwart value when you do a basic.
So, yeah, I think that's one of the better aggression cards that has come out of this wave, for sure. I mean, there's a couple others, like there's, for aerial characters, Bombs Away.
Yeah.
That came out. That one's not bad. I'm trying to think of some other ones now that I'm having to remember all the aggression. I see there for psionic characters, there's the Cybo attack.
Yeah, the psionic got a little bit of love. Yeah, but I feel like those are a little more specialized as a whole. I don't feel like a Cybo attack can be really attributed to it. It helps certain characters in aggression rather than aggression as a whole.
Yeah.
Now, is it a good card? I've used it in a ton of Psylocke decks.
Yeah. It did come with, aggression did come out with a new side scheme, player side scheme, Keep Them Busy, which has the assault on it. And that one is a big threat remover from the main scheme, which was nice. We played it in a game not too long ago, and it was very helpful.
Yeah, it actually hit. It was nice.
So I do think that helped, but I would agree. I think aggression, it was missing some overarching aggression attack cards.
Yeah, attack events. I feel like
delivered.
I feel like just generic attack events did not get any love. Very specialized, and there's a lot of specialized character in this wave. Psionic, Aerial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
All right, let's move in. I'll let you talk about protection, since it's got probably your favorite card from the wave.
Yeah, I think protection did get some love. It got in this, not the wave, but this year, it got two heroes with protection on it. So you got Rogue and you got Angel. Rogue didn't really have a whole lot of non-reprints. It had Not Today, which was a defensive card that kind of helps with the thwarting that defense or protection needs. So that was good. Judo Skill is a pretty interesting card for people. But I think its big win, and you mentioned the other day, was its allies. Armor and Iceman are both pretty solid protection allies.
And I think kind of flying under the radar is the defensive energy. A way to give some defensive players some card draw is nice. It's I don't know. Part of me, I like the double energy per, you know, the sense of cards. But that one's kind of nice. Because you should be loaded up with some defensive events in order to draw the card.
Yeah, if you're running a pretty strong defensive event deck, adding a defensive energy is pretty solid. So, but we can't forget the best defensive card, as you mentioned, is Taunt. The card draw, it's pretty sweet. It fits the protection build and very helpful, really strong. And then the only other protection that I was the card that I like at least is Angel's Aerie.
That's the one I was going to mention. Yep.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty solid for a defense.
Yeah, I've had some thoughts about that one on a couple decks I want to try out.
Yeah, for sure. Justice.
Well, I was going to give Justice to you, so if you want to go Justice now, or I can take leadership.
I'll just do Justice real quick.
Do it.
I think Justice also got some love. I think the biggest love it got was from Psylocke coming in. It got Lay the Trap player side scheme, which I really like. I think the best event that they came out is Upside the Head, which is a good confuse / stun opportunity card. And that's starting to think that that Justice is kind of like protection in that it has some pretty solid status card effects. Or not status. Yeah, status card effects.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can start confusing and stunning. I feel like there's not a whole lot with leadership, or any with leadership. And aggression has, I think, just stun related.
Yeah.
So
I think some other ones that they're a little more specialized, but came out of the Gambit deck. I do like the operative skills. I know some of the aspects have a similar, you put it down, uses counters, and you can kind of buff, you know, plus one for this case is threat.
Yeah.
I think heroes that struggle with threat, that kind of adds a way to maybe do a little bit extra. And then breaking and entering is a way to thwart an alter ego. You do have to have a certain trait to do that. But I just like the card overall.
Yeah.
A three removal in alter ego. And I personally really like a Black Widow deck. It's kind of nice as a spy. You know, and maybe they'll bring in more thieves and spies in the future and make that one a little better. Who knows?
Yeah. No, I think Justice got some good love from this year, which was nice.
Yeah.
I like Justice, and there's a lot of cards with a lot of opportunities. So.
All right. Leadership. And the leader of this wave was Cable. So Cable came with leadership. His cards are very X-Force focused. I feel like his allies are decent. The relatively low cost. Phantom X is a 4 cost, but you get to have EVA with you as well, which is kind of a cool little combo. I do like that. Let's see. He first introduced that leadership one of play only if you've got a side scheme in the victory display of mission planning, which is kind of a strong card. If you're really built out with some allies, no consequential damage is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And that one's nice because... Oh, it's good.
I was going to say, when it first came out, I was like, I don't know. And then after kind of understanding what it really did, it was it's a pretty solid card.
And I know there's some cards that's like, if they're doing a side scheme, they get no consequential. But this one's just straight no consequential damage. And if you've got like a big ally that has like a 2 consequential attack or thwart, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be a very, like, almost overpowered kind of thing.
His mission leader is really nice. Anybody can play it, but it gets a little benefit if you're a soldier. But if you clear a side scheme, you can exhaust mission leader, and each player draws a card. I think we tag-teamed that pretty well with the mission leader and... what is the one? The investigator card in Justice. Skilled investigator. So we were kind of able to, like, double whammy those, which was nice. Yeah. Because I could run those and give you one, and you could just run this, and we would both get one because we were taking out a side scheme, it felt like, almost every turn.
Oh, yeah. We had it set up pretty good.
Yeah. He came with some side schemes, which I think we talked about. But Coffer Backup, I think, can be a fun one to play with, especially with allies you don't normally think you want to play due to the cost.
I do like Coffer Backup. I do.
Yeah, that's a good side scheme. It's relatively... Actually, it's kind of expensive at one cost and three per player, but
yeah.
The ability to pull any ally is pretty awesome. All right, talk about our last aspect.
Let's do it.
Our announced Gen Con Deadpool aspect, or technically it's the pool aspect, introduced a lot of risk-reward because a lot of the cards, I think the pool aspect as a whole focuses on all those icons that are out in the villain land, and you either get that benefit or negative effect because the token or the icons are the icons, and you kind of have to balance it how long you want them out versus getting rid of them versus making them benefit you. I don't know. What do you think about pool aspect?
I don't want to go too in depth with it, since we'll probably talk more about it at the Deadpool review that we have working on.
Yeah.
But I think the overall aspect is okay. That's the best I say. Ultimately, the icons just didn't play very well with me. There are other cards in the pool aspect that are, I think, are a lot better than any of the icon related cards.
I would agree. I felt like I never had enough to make it worth my while.
Yes.
I would have like one or two, but it didn't seem like it was enough to really justify being able to do it.
Yeah, for a decks or cards that are designed to maximize the bad things that are happening to you, the output didn't seem to match what you really needed for the input.
Yep. What else can I say? I do like the allies. The allies are fun and can be strong. They're a little more expensive, but I think they're worth it. There's some resource cards that can make it worth it, but they all do have their negative side, the icon associated with them. Yeah. What did you think about... Oh, go ahead.
I've seen you play Da Bomb.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's pretty devastating.
What did you think about having to include the Dreadpool encounter set if you play the pool aspect?
I like the idea behind it, but I think it still falls under that concern of, is the rewards I'm getting with this aspect good enough to now have to deal with a whole nother encounter set?
Yeah. I would agree.
So, but I will say, I hate Polarized. That stunk.
Yeah, Polarized.
I mean, it's a good card, I guess, overall. It's very similar to a lot of other ones, but it stunk because it attached to a 4-cost ally. But I like the anti-regeneration ray.
Yeah.
That one's a fun one. I like the interaction of it.
I will say they're fun to play. Like, it puts a smile on my face when certain interactions occur, but I don't know if I want that all the time.
Yeah. But it definitely, it adds a new dynamic to heroes that you can try.
Yep. All right, Ryan. And the award goes to
you. Had that planned.
I did. Who are you giving your award to?
My award goes to
Justice.
Say basic.
The wild card.
I mean, technically, I guess it's not an
aspect. It's not an aspect.
But I was thinking about it. Basic really got some good stuff to help
here. Yeah, we didn't talk about the basics because it's not an aspect, but I'm on the same boat as you are.
I mean, just to really talk about just real quick, it introduced some really great player side schemes. All three of them are awesome. It introduced some good events that help a lot of different heroes. The one I am thinking of is it X-23's got it?
The specialized training. And,
oh.
Is that what you're thinking of?
No, that's specialized training. I'm thinking of who has it? Who
Sorry, has, spaced out. What are you looking for?
Oh, directive yeah. force.
Yeah. Has it. I love that card.
I think that's a pretty solid card. It's got a lot of solid basic cards that really help. And of course, it has the number one art card, which it's not one of our awards. We should have done this, but
oh yeah, that's true.
The number one art card goes to Soaring Hearts.
The most improved Angel mullet. Mullet.
Yep. His energy breaking mullet. That's perfection.
I think the other thing with aspect or the basic is the resource cards they introduced with the power of the mind and the power of flight. It's very unique and it's kind of specialized for certain characters, but I feel like it helps old characters so much.
Yeah, yeah. There's really good stuff. Soaring Acrobatics with Angel, that just helps aerial characters that much more.
Yeah, those, like, especially like an Iron Man when you didn't have like any aerial cards.
Yeah.
So the other one I was going to mention that helps this trilogy is X-Gene. Because I felt like the first way was very superpower events, and you could use like a death focus really well. But then when you got into the next evolution, I didn't feel like I had as many superpowers. Mm-hmm. And I could use an X-Gene because everyone's a mutant. And for the most part, there was a lot of events, and I felt like it was beneficial to have that X-Gene.
Yep. Yeah, I really liked a lot that basic brought this year. So it was really nice. But, I mean, if we can't choose basic as the award, it's a tough one. I want to say pool just because it adds new cards, a new aspect to the whole dynamic. But I think it still needs some more loving to really be a very solid aspect. So I would give it to either protection or justice.
I'm going to go justice. So I think the official word goes to justice. Your honorary mention of basic, I think, is well deserved.
Yeah. I think there's some really strong stuff.
Yeah. I think the best two was justice and protection by far. But I think justice got a little bit of another way to play.
Yeah, for sure. Nice, man. Nice. Shall we move on to the next one?
Yes. Let's talk about the most improved or new trait that was introduced in 2023.
And the nominees are Aerial, Psionic, Spy/Thief, Posse, or Mutant Liberation Front.
I like how you threw that one in there.
I had to put that one in there.
The villain's gotta get a little bit of love, I guess.
Yeah. This one's pretty easy for me, but...
Well, I think the bottom three you mentioned, I don't think, unfortunately, have a very good fighting chance. I feel like Spy Thief was just a couple cards here and there with Gambit. Granted that it is nice, I don't think it, as a whole, really helped the game going like backwards.
Yeah.
And the Posse is very specialized with Domino, and I don't feel like it was great. And Mutant Liberation Front is a unique scenario and counter set. So I think the focus would be on Aerial and Psionic.
Yes. Those other three were the pity.
The pity nominations. Okay.
You had to fill out the whole grouping, so it's not just a one-on-one. But it absolutely is Aerial versus Psionic.
Definitely. All right.
Do you know what it is? Because I know what it is.
I think I have like two rules of thoughts on these, I guess. Like, I think the strength, which one, like strength wise, helps, and then which one helps more characters. Each one touches one of those. So,
well,
who are you giving the award to?
The award goes to Ariel.
The mermaid. If we're talking about like most improved, I'm definitely going to say Ariel. That's the one that I think goes back and touches the most amount of heroes to make them slightly better and give you a new way to play.
Yep.
And can revisit. Now, yes. I will say that
with the introduction of, I would say with the introduction of Angel, it truly brought forth the, I think, what Ariel really needed to become a effective trait for heroes.
Yeah, it was kind of like a comical like afterthought sometimes as a trait. Especially if you look at some of those like early heroes. Iron Man, he saw it in some of his upgrades and things, but I just felt like it was clunky. Captain Marvel was a little bit the same way. There's a few others kind of early on that were like that. But I'm with you. I felt like Angel really was that aerial character that really kind of broke the glass ceiling, if you will. Because he flew into it.
He hit and that glass did not break. He just dropped like a bird.
He's like watching a bird fly into a window. It was tough to watch.
But yeah, I think Ariel for me is the winner. I think Psionic is good. I think one of its problems is that when it first came out with Jean Grey, that it was kind of like, oh no, Psionic is going to be the new Mystic. And I just don't think it's landed as strong. It definitely has good stuff in it, like Cable and Psylocke. But overall, I think Ariel helps a lot more heroes and provides more cards to do some fun things with.
I feel like Psionic is a little more event focused, whereas like you mentioned, Mystic is a little more upgrade to make that character significantly better.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that.
But yeah, I agree. Ariel is the clear winner.
Yes. All right. Next category. You ready?
Yep. Let's throw it at us.
All right. Best new addition to the game. And the nominees are Player Side Schemes, the Assault keyword, the Pool aspect, the Hope encounter set, and the Rules update.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the answer is going to be the Rules update, just because it's good that we have a Rules update to clarify a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the Rules update took away, it giveth and it taketh. So
poetic.
It had its ups and its downs.
Yeah. I think it changed some definite things with with some characters. I think with defense characters. Not defense characters, protection players.
Yeah.
A little bit. And it also altered some scenarios too, just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have in our next category, we'll have one that I'll elaborate a little more on, so I'll save it.
Oh, awesome.
But that I think it's a good clarification, but I think it hurts previous scenarios that didn't get clarified or updated.
Yeah.
Which is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Because so it's like you took what... And I know it's interpretation of what you think they meant versus the way, like, thematically it feels like it wants to play versus what you're playing the letter of the law or rule.
Yeah, and these things are bound to happen because you have such a wide range of game and it's still growing. I mean, it's so difficult to plan this far ahead in advance on the rules.
Definitely. And I'm not sliding anybody. I definitely am with you on that one.
Yeah, yeah. But if we don't include the rules update, for me, the biggest new addition is player sides games.
I would agree. Player sides games, so hand down, gets the award.
I think pool aspect would take it if there was overall just more cards for the aspect, or if it was, I don't know, I want to say fleshed out more, but just more better.
More better. I like it.
Mo better. I like the way it's going.
So let me pose a question to you here. Because the last one, you kind of made the point, you think it'd be better once it grows and kind of gains, you know, a little bit of more support. Would you rather see the support come from another character that is a pool aspected character, or would you rather see those bonus cards that you typically get in a hero pack that are pool cards?
Yeah. So this is where I think it's the pool aspect kind of paints them in a corner, is that you can't really put it with another hero unless they're Deadpool adjacent.
I would agree. So like a Gwynpool or something.
You're going to have to do it just as additional cards as part of a wave.
So do you make a Ryan Reynolds character? Is that what you're saying?
You're going to have to. Maybe that's the promo card. It's just a picture of Ryan Reynolds with Hugh Jackman's face.
On the front of it? Face. I was thinking the alter ego, or no, the hero one would be him in like a Green Lantern costume. Oh,
that would be awesome. All right, so someone in the community do that. The alter ego is Ryan Reynolds, and the hero is Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern.
Yes. CGI spandex.
Yeah. I think I do look forward to seeing what the pull aspect does. I think there are some good cards that you can deck build currently. But overall, I think for heroes worldwide, that's funny, player side schemes are hands down the best addition.
Yeah, I agree.
I will die on a hill on that.
Well, I think it makes any character better. Because if you put in the right player side schemes and can deal with them, if there's certain heroes that require like a very special card upgrade support to really make them go, and you know, it bounds where it's always at the bottom of your deck.
Yeah.
You know, you can go get it out.
Yeah.
And the other thing is there's no downside. It's not like the pool aspect where there's downside. You set it out there, and if you need to leave it out there, you leave it out there for some time and you just deal with it when you need it.
Yep. That's the glory of it.
And they've balanced with it where you can't have too many to make it too overpowerful.
Yeah. Yep. So it's good. All right. Let's hear about this next aspect that you're gonna talk more about.
All right.
Category.
Our next category is the best community drama of 2023.
Drama.
And the nominees are the OP kits, early access in different markets to product, the rules reference, and deal versus take.
Oh, fun.
All right. So we already kind of talked about the rules reference. I won't elaborate on that one too much, but I wanted to talk about deal versus take. And like, I get the concept of deal versus take. And I think they're very clearly defined on the two and the timing of the two, but I just feel like it breaks some cards and it makes it to where they don't really function in the current upgraded rules as they're written and not updated the cards are not updated. And I think the one we've talked about in a previous episode with Ronan was the Power Stone. It's clearly meant, I mean, in my opinion, it's clearly meant that if you dealt, not dealt, if three,
oh, here we go.
I know, no kidding, right? If three damage was taken, then the ownership of the Power Stone should transfer.
Yeah, I mean, when we played a game, and it functioned fine.
Yes, it didn't break the game, but it.
Yeah, but there was definitely some moments where you kind of saw that come into play.
And I feel like it helps the villain more, because the villain is always dealing you,
yes,
that huge amount of damage. But if you're able to negate it with a tough, or defend with an ally, defend yourself, you're not taking three. Then why would he be able to take the Power Stone back? So he was always taking it back every single time. You didn't get to keep it.
So what you're saying is the update, in a way, actually made him harder.
Well, in my opinion, it made him easier. Because if you can't keep the Power Stone, he gets it back. His benefit is the +1, but with the stone. His benefit without the stone is he gets that extra boost card for that character he's attacking that has the stone. So instead of having +1, he could potentially have a +3. I think it made him easier.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I don't think the community will complain about.
No, I agree.
So we
played in some other, like an older scenario, and it was like, if it this card dealt X damage, do something bad. Well, it's always dealing damage. The damage is always dealt. It's that the damage may or may not be taken.
Yeah, you'd have to stun. It would be the counter to it.
It was something like that. It was like, if damage was dealt,
stun
the character.
Or yeah.
Well, damage is always dealt, so it always stuns. But I don't feel like the card was written to do that. I think it was written to be if you were actually damage was taken, then you were stunned.
I can feel the passion.
Yes, I'm getting heated.
I think we're going to need to take a break. We'll return after these
short commercial messages. Breaks. Mojo's TV. All right, Ryan.
This is Magog, and this is my... what is it? My muscle lotion.
Mojo World Gladiators.
My Bengay.
Oh, there you go.
Mojo Bengay.
No, what is... he probably has like some slippers or something. My Mojo Slippers.
My Mojo Slippers.
All right, so which one do you think is more...
It's probably community? A streaming service.
Oh, a streaming service for Mojo.
Mojo streaming service.
Well, he, you know, his business Mojo plan, Max. He had to, right, he had to go with the times and not just be on cable anymore, you know, interdimensional cable or interstellar cable. He had to go to the streaming. Yeah. So, Mojo Max.
The market shifted.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got to keep up with the times. And if you use our code... Marvel Champions at checkout, you'll get one free month of Mojo Max. All right, OP kits are early access in different foreign markets. Which one do you like more?
For the community drama?
Yeah.
The OP kits versus
early access. Yeah, there was that string in the summer where somebody in a European country was getting, you know, X-23 and Deadpool.
Yeah, I don't think there were some OP kits stuff. I feel like you can actually just kind of combine those two because there were some early access OP kits. or better yet, they just like, well, we went and we just bought the OP kits.
The OP kits like range, right? They go in and it's like sitting on the shelf and the store doesn't realize they're not supposed to like sell it. You just buy it. Or you've got the other end of the spectrum where somebody doesn't live in a, they can't, they don't have a store near them.
Yeah.
Or if they do have a store, the store doesn't do OP Kids.
I mean, this is no knock on OP Kids. I want them to continue doing that.
No, I'm with you.
We organized ours so that we could get some, and we got some.
Yeah, and I'll give a shout out. We couldn't get the next evolution round, but I was able to win some from a content creator, a YouTuber, D20 Woodworking. I was able to win a couple from him, so shout out to him.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what it pays to support some other community members.
Yeah, and I'll give him the shout out because he did it for a lot of people. He did a lot of giveaways.
So that's awesome.
Giving back.
Giving back.
I think the award, in my opinion, goes to OP Kids. There's got to be some way to get them in more people's, or at least certain cards. You know, there's some of those where I don't care about them, but you know, if it's like my favorite hero and I want this cool alternate art card, I want a way to get it without having to like pay the scalpers on eBay 4 or 5 times what I could buy a whole kit. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some way. So, all right, we'll give it to the community drama of OP Kids.
OP Kids 2023.
That's right, Fantasy Fly. If you're listening to this, keep working at it. We love the cards. We love the alt stuff. But let's keep pumping those out and trying to figure out how best to get the community going.
Yeah. I heard a rumor, and this is straight up rumor, that they were thinking about a way to change that up, but I have no idea on what that looks like. And as far as I know, it's a rumor.
That's a real hot take rumor.
It would be nice if they would do it for like the community. Like, I know you can't like vet these people, but if you could send them to like a community member and that community member hosts one at their own, you know, game store, that's at least a way to get it into more people's hands. Because if the game store doesn't even want to think about doing it, or they're not an affiliate or whatever hoops you jump through.
Yeah. Who knows? It's tough.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in their shoes. But no, your shoes, Fantasy Flight, I would love a Psylocke Angel mullet.
Oh, okay.
Card. Where you're kind of like Rogue and Gambit. It's a twofer.
Okay. So you wanted the Psylocke and the Angel OP card to be the kind of overlapper, but with the giant flowing mullet.
Oh man, please, just please give me that. That's what I want.
Okay.
That would be, I will say Angel has some of the coolest art. I love his Archangel flip big sign, but man, if you can get that mullet, that is... That's so good. I didn't tell you this. The other day when I was visiting our parents, there was a kid with this like really, really southern mullet, and he did not pull it off well.
It was like a dirty mullet.
It did not look like Angel's, I'll tell you what. It looked like he went to a NASCAR.
It was more like a Joe race. Dirt.
Yeah, he went to a NASCAR race and he decided to use some scissors he found in the stadium and just give himself a cut.
It was a party in the back, but not a very good party.
Oh man, it was a rager. Okay, I think this next award's going to be fun.
All right, Ryan, I think I'm going to switch it up. Oh, you're talking about that award. All right, so this one... There was only one nominee for this one.
Oh, that's right.
And this is the Game is Dead Award. And the nominee is just Radio Silence Before Next Evolution. There's like months of no preview releases. Which led to the firestorm of the Game is Dead.
Community. Yeah, eventually the community just goes... So, Game is Dead. I haven't heard anything. And then the drama of that, which we did include in the drama category. That, everyone, well, let me tell you, the game is not dying. It's doing very well. I'm not part of FFG, but I'm pretty sure it's doing well.
Yeah, I think it sells well. Right. At least, you know, our game store that carries it. It's always to? No, just the game is dead. The word goes to itself.
Game is dead.
No, the game is not dead, but and there could be some internal factors with, you know, people transitioning or something like that, which, you know, caused a delay in marketing. But I feel like in 2023, in the second half, I feel like it's been pretty good. I've liked their little teases they do that they didn't previously do. Even if it is a tease, I think it's something's better than nothing.
Yeah, no, it's been a pretty solid since the announcement of Next Evolution. So I would agree they've done pretty solid at keeping people looped in and kind of throwing out some bait, getting people lured in.
All right, before we get to our next category, our prestigious category, let's talk about some of the nominees in an indirect way. We're gonna go into the category of best new signature ally.
Okay.
All right, Ryan. So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 signature allies, but not every hero came with a signature ally in the year of 2023.
Okay.
We did have a bunch that were complementary. So Angel and Psylocke came with each other. Rogue and Gambit came with each other. But then we had some wild cards in there as well.
All right.
So let's start with Gambit and Rogue, those two nominees. I guess let's, in order to give out this award, let's face off on these. So we can go head to head. So Rogue, right, signature ally, and Gambit signature ally. Who are you taking?
That's a tough one. I think I would give it to... Oh man, this is tough. Because I feel like they're kind of even.
I think one notches the other. Because of the ease of playing Rogue, I give it to Rogue.
I think I might give it to Rogue too.
She gets toughness and being able to reduce her cost to zero is pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, I mean, you can't get it to zero.
Yeah, you can.
One.
No.
Because he can only have 3 charge counters.
No, he cannot. He can have as many as he wants. There's no limit of charge counters. You can only play 3.
That's right. That's right. I guess I was getting confused with his ally.
Yes.
Because he only comes with 3.
Yes.
That's right. You can only play 3. You can have as much as you want. You're right. Yep. No, you're right. Rogue is for sure the better one.
And so, yep. I would concur. All right. So Rogue takes that round. Angel and Psylocke. Signature allies, who you taking?
I'm taking Psylocke.
Psylocke. Because of her abilities or her response is not just a one-timer, I think it, for the same cost, granted Angel has one more attack, I don't think it matters because the ability to ready Archangel, that's pretty awesome. A ready and a heal, where you can almost kind of keep the combo out there indefinitely.
Yeah.
Hands down, Psylocke.
Psylocke's not there to deal thwart or damage. That's just a side, not a side effect. Yeah, I guess you could say a side effect. But the real thing is the ability, for sure.
Yep. All right. Now, we were introduced with a hero that had 2 signature allies in this year of 2023. Domino's signature allies of Outlaw and Diamondback.
Ooh.
Which one you taking?
I'm taking Diamondback.
Oh, split. I'm taking Outlaw.
You gotta be kidding.
I will say that Diamondback came in clutch, but I think the consistency is with Outlaw.
For me, I found myself, when I had the option of both, I chose Diamondback, because Diamondback's output can be, the ceiling can be higher in a way.
And
depending on the circumstance.
Outlaw just has the outlaw trait for no reason. She's just an outlaw. Yeah, it's her name and her trait.
That's a pretty good one.
And that's why I picked her. No, I think the toughness and the ability to do the increase her single attack. Granted, she does not have that spread damage like Diamondback. I think she's a little more consistent.
Yeah, I mean, Diamondback only, she's a two-shot if you do her ability, or she's a one-time and then a
jump.
Punching bag.
Yeah.
A jump. Yeah.
All right. Honey Badger and Cable.
It's obviously Honey Badger because it's so central to X-23, but Cable is not a bad ally for sure. He can be pretty powerful.
So who are you going with?
Honey Badger.
Oh, I'm going Cable. I like X-23, and I like the idea of Honey Badger, but I just don't think it's, because of the ruling with her second response not working. Oh. I think she's, unless you do like a good leadership or protection build to increase her stats, I think she's kind of garbage. Hot take, throwing it out there.
If you compare them straight up, you're right. Honey Badger is less than Cable.
Yes, and that's why I was going.
But Honey Badger with X-23,
yes,
and how Honey Badger relates to it is a better ally because it's so central. Because it readies X-23. So whatever you're doing, you can't look at the stats perfectly.
Well, see, I was going off of the actual just ally.
X-23 can ready and does do like. Yeah, if you do just Allen, then yeah, it's Cable.
All right, I'll give you Honey Badger. You talked me off the ledge.
No, I think you gotta.
You've got me all worked up about Honey Badger and Deal versus Take. I'll...
There it is. I have opened a can.
With your one.
All right.
Claw.
Well, in that case, Mince is tough.
All right. So out of our winners, who you taking?
Oh, that's tough then. I don't think I would take Outlaw or Diamondback as the best.
Yeah.
Rogue is pretty solid with that, but I think Psylocke might be the winner for me.
It's a very close race, in my opinion, of those two, Rogue and Psylocke, but I think the versatility with the character, it's going to be Psylocke. The award goes to Psylocke.
Nice. Because you can Ultron, not Ultron, you can Voltron Psylocke and make her that much better.
And you weren't wrong. You can Ultron Psylocke. She can become an Ultron.
But if you built up Psylocke, that would be pretty... You can make a pretty solid leadership deck off of Psylocke.
Yeah, well, and I think some people forget. Well, you can't do it with her because she's not an X-Men. But there are some in that first wave of X-Men stuff. There were some of those upgrades that helped the allies.
Yeah.
X-Men allies.
So it's official. Psylocke is the best signature ally this time around.
Yeah.
There it is. Good job, Psylocke.
Good job.
You may not.
Your hero may not win the award, but your signature ally did.
Yeah. All right. So then, if we did that one, shall we go on to the next one then?
Yes. And this is an award that we give out every year in honor of one of the Korbox signature allies. This is the honorary signature ally War Machine Memorial.
Memorial?
Award. Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes. And just so, to be clear, this is not that it's the necessarily the worst ally. It's just the ally that just doesn't get played.
Correct. So this goes out to the signature ally that just never gets played like War Machine does in the Iron Man hero pack.
Oh, bless his War Machine.
Bless his heart.
This
year's nominees are tough because they're actually decent all around.
Yeah, I think they're all solid. I would play each one of them
at
some point.
I have played each one of them, so there is that. And this year is a tough, but I think if I have to pick an honorary award recipient, I would say it's probably going to have to go to Gambit.
Let me guess. It was between Angel and Gambit?
Angel, Gambit, and probably Diamondback.
Diamondback? Oh, come on, man.
I don't know. Diamondback, she's cheap. She's a cheap date, so maybe I do play her because I can just let her eat an attack. Yeah, Angel, Gambit's probably the two. But I'm going to give it to Gambit.
I think ultimately I would choose Gambit too.
Sorry, Gambit. It has to go to somebody.
It's got to go to somebody. You're not bad. It's not you. It's us.
It's a War Machine.
Yeah. I think for him, it's just his ability. It would be nice if it was also with Thwart as well. But you're basically just getting three extra damage, which is fine.
Right.
But there's nothing. Angel at least readies. Even though it's a one shot, it readies, which can be very clutch for a Psylocke build.
Yeah. I think with Gambit, you know, the card art is him like throwing cards, multiple cards out. I think maybe if it was some way to spread the damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Spread the damage, or maybe it could have been kind of like Power Man. I think Power Man, he comes with counters and you can choose to use all of them at once, or you can spread them. Maybe that would have been cool. I don't know.
You're right. But Gambit, you get the award, buddy. Congratulations. It's an honor. It is an honor.
It is an honor. Instead of a was it the Razzies, it's a roadie.
Right. It's the roadies.
The roadies.
All right.
Just to be clear, I don't think he's bad. He's just someone's got to get the award.
Like I said, this year I don't think there was a nominee that was deserving, but it has to go to somebody.
Yeah, has to.
All right. Before we get to our most prestigious category of best new hero, I wanted to ask you a couple questions, Ryan. Looking towards the future.
Oh, no.
Looking to 2024 and beyond. What do you think, or what would you like to see in a next main box? What would be your guess, or what would you like to see?
Now, okay.
And this is a campaign box because we're going to have what would you like to see as the next standalone scenario pack, and then maybe what would you like to see for a future cycle of theme of characters?
Okay. The next box. Is this after Apocalypse?
Yeah, because we know Apocalypse is coming out in 2024, so this would either be a late second 2024 box or the first 2025 or early 2025 box.
Okay.
Or beyond, I guess. Whatever you can conjure up.
I think personally, I would like to see the Marvel Knights. I would love to see a Daredevil and a Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Jessica Drew,
Elektra, Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
He's the only one that can walk in both worlds.
He's the only one.
He's the Ghost Rider.
The Ghost Rider.
Nicolas Cage. Oh, that's the OP card for that one.
The OP card.
It's the Nicolas Cage. Alter ego. Okay.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would really love those. I think it'd be a cool like box set with like a.
So that's gonna be your future Kingpin. Cycle. So give me your box. If that's your wave, give me your box.
Yeah, I don't know what heroes would be in there, but the box I would like do the Kingpin and Bullseye.
Yeah, see, I was thinking about that when we were in the game store.
Yeah,
the other day.
I think that's where you introduce those because there's a whole slew of, New York villains.
What's the little ninja clan? It's not the foot, the hand.
The hand.
Yeah, because you could do, the foot's the knockoff because they did it from like Ninja Turtles. That's why they called it the foot. Yeah. the hand, you could do like a hand scenario, which I think would be interesting.
Yeah,
and you could do a Bullseye.
What is her name? She has size. Elektra.
Yeah,
you could do an Elektra bad scenario.
Yeah, where she's evil.
Yeah.
Then a Kingpin.
She'll probably be a hero too.
But yeah. I think
Kingpin would be the big one. You could do, is it Smythe? Is that his, not Smythe, is it? His like butler, not butler, but like his right-hand man.
For who?
For Kingpin.
Oh, you're talking about the animated Spider-Man? Yeah, Smythe. Alistair Smythe. And his Fajr.
But yeah,
and he had the web, what were the Spider Slayers?
He did, that was pretty cool. But yeah, you have like Tombstone. I mean, we have that encounter set.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's some villains you can do with that. Do the underground.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of
potential.
It'd be
cool if it was like an investigation. That'd be cool.
Do like a Jessica Drew and the Iron Fist, or Jessica Drew and Luke Cage in the box kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I guess Jessica Drew and Luke Cage would probably be a good box hero.
Right.
Together.
Because if you're not going to do the most popular and do like an Elektra or Daredevil together,
yeah,
might as well do.
I think that would be a good combo.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's the box I probably would want to see. What about you?
You kind of stole mine because that's what was going to be my answer.
Yes.
But I've been thinking, I think if you start to get like to some obscure ones, I think an Inhuman box has a lot of heroes you could throw in and some decent villains. But I think I was looking at some random stuff the other day, and I think a Runaways box would be interesting.
Oh, that one's different.
Yeah. I think like you could have some fun with some of those Runaway characters.
That is a different one.
It's got like the rainbow chick, the kid with the big gloves. Mm-hmm. He's got like a dinosaur velociraptor best friend. One girl's like super strong. You could do like a cloak and dagger with them. So.
Yeah. We have talked about a cloak and dagger hero. I think that would be a cool design, whatever they do.
Yeah, like I think we have talked about that one. Yeah, I think to have like two actual distinct hero, not like a form change.
Yeah.
However you were able to work it out, but have like two distinct hero. I guess you could almost say it's kind of like a spider, but different and better.
Yes. Yeah, it's two heroes, but they're one hero when you play.
Right. Basically. It's controlled by one person, but they're two heroes.
Yes. Yeah, we think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
The other box that I'm predicting eventually is a Fantastic Four box.
Oh, sure. It's like the first family of Marvel.
Yeah, that's going to be Doctor Doom. I would assume Doctor Doom, not Galactus, but you can add in, you have all four of the Fantastics, and then you can add like Silver Surfer and some other.
Sure. There's some others here in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question with that one is how do you make that box where do you put in Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman as your characters? You think that's what you do?
Yeah, I think you do those two because those two kind of just, they work together. And I think you're more likely to, because didn't you say that most of the time for box heroes, they do the heroes that are less likely to be sold on their
individual? Yeah, from what I want to say one of the lives, they said they, a couple that they don't think that would sell independently over another, they try and to put those as the box because they know the box is going to sell because the villains.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the Thing and Human Torch are more likely to sell more than the other two.
Sure. Now, curveball here. Do you make those other two available at release like they did Mutant Genesis?
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would make sense.
Then you'd have to have a big wave.
That would be a big wave.
Fill out a couple extra heroes.
Bow, bow.
Yep.
All right,
a standalone scenario pack. Who would you like to see? What villain would you like to see in a standalone?
Oh, man, there's so many. I think since we've gone through some X-Men stuff, I think a Sauron one would be cool.
Okay.
I don't know.
Like a Savage Land? So would you want like a Savage Land, like mini campaign, like a Mojo, or just a straight-up Sauron scenario pack?
Yeah, I would say if they were able to do another mini campaign, that was awesome. I really liked Joe. They were solid scenarios, and it was fun to do like a mini one without all the massive setup.
Yeah.
But I think that would be really cool to see a Savage Land Sauron. Outside of that, I think it would be cool to do, if they're moving away from mutants, if they could do like an Omega Red, Lady Destra, like a Weapon X scenario where it has a Trask. Is it Trask? No. Striker.
Okay.
And do like Lady Deathstrike and Omega Red.
Interesting. I know what I was going to say. I was thinking about this today for the episode. I'm gonna recant my box. I want to see a Gamma box with like a Maestro, the leader,
Hulk,
and do some alternate Hulk, like a Red Hulk or A-Bomb, or what's the Samson? Give Gamma some love.
That could be interesting.
Yeah,
maybe I think you can do a mini scenario with that.
Yeah. All right, my scenario pack that I think I would want to see is, he's kind of obscure. He's always kind of like a B level villain guy. He's always like a lackey of somebody, but I think a Grim Reaper would be interesting, or do like a Dormammu or Nightmare.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe that's
interesting. Going with the Mystic.
Yeah, some crazy stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they would do a full box for like Dormammu.
Right.
Maybe a scenario pack would be better.
Yep. I'm trying to think of other B-level villains. Not that they're all B-level by any means. Or I would like to see them go back and do like some of these that are multi-villain scenarios.
Oh, and
give like a Dr. Octopus. I think, you know, battling his four arms in somewhere where you've got to kind of nullify them one at a time or something would be an interesting concept.
Yes. Totally agree. I think that's one of the I like Sinister Motives, but I think that is a downside, is that we missed out on a lot of,
like a Kraven,
Sinister Six villains. Yeah. So yeah, I would love a Doc Ock, a Vulture.
Same thing with like Nemesis too. Like you get these Nemesis, and you're like, man, that would be a cool villain to do one day.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I want to see Hydro Man.
Yeah, or do like an Elementals where you have like Hydro Man, and I guess we already have a Sandman, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah. No, that would be cool. Or maybe if spots become more popular because of the movie.
Yeah, I think another spider box would be cool too. I think there's so much spider. Just his rogues gallery is so, his villains are so iconic.
Yeah, there's easily enough villains that we haven't touched that they could do another box.
Right. Yep.
Cool.
All right. Let's see. I think it is that time of the night where we give out our prestigious Best New Hero Award.
Did we do the Best New Villain? I guess we kind of did.
Huh? We did not. I jumped the gun. We kind of talked about them in our face-off head-to-head, but...
Yeah.
We can let's go. Yes, let's do Best New Villain before we get to the Best New Hero.
Best New Villain. There's five. Who's it going to be?
And the nominees are... We already talked about the nominees. It's all the box of Next Evolution.
The winner is... you know, in a way, it's kind of tough, but it's Mr. Sinister.
I would agree. Mr. Sinister is probably the best. And I think his encounter sets are able to be applied to different villains and make the villain stronger without just kind of padding an encounter set.
Yeah.
Modular set, whatever the official term is.
Yeah, I think it's a solid scenario. Guide you through the story and...
We all want to see a flying rhino. I mean, let's be honest.
We all do. That's right. Yeah. Or flying Sandman.
Ooh, flying Sandman.
Flying Sandman.
That'd be good. All right.
Let's do it.
And the nominees for Best Hero, Best New Hero, are Rogue, Gambit, Cable, Domino, Angel, Psylocke, X-23, and Deadpool.
And the winner is... Hulk. No, it's Angel, man.
Oh, you're giving it to Angel.
I think I'm going to give it to Angel. Well, let me ask this. Is this just Hero, or is this what they came with?
This is just Hero. This is just Best New Hero. I'm going to go...
I think it's Angel.
Archangel! No, Angel. I think it's this one's a tough. This is a lot of good competitors this year in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could give the award to everybody. But I was donated a My Angel Pillow.
My Angel Pillow. Archangel.
Arched Angel. He's fun to play.
Yeah, he is.
He's strong. He's consistent.
Yeah. I think there's some close... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a lot of close seconds.
Yeah. I think for me, the ones that have come close is Cable.
Yeah.
Is pretty close there. Personally, I think Psylocke is close, but...
I like Domino. I think Domino's close. Consistency. Yeah, yeah. She's very consistent, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Deadpool is close because of I think a lot of people like him as a character, let alone the game. But I think he adds a fun dynamic of how to play. But ultimately, if I had to choose one of these to play, it's going to come down to my Angel or maybe Cable.
Yeah. There's definitely some strong heroes in this year.
Yeah, there's no duds in these.
No, there's definitely no... we won't name any names, but there's definitely no just heroes that you're just like, yeah, I'm not going to play them again. I think out of all of these... Yeah. I can definitely pick up and have a good time with any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think all of them, there's a good variety. I think everyone's going to have one that they like more, and it's a good crop this year. Good crop this year.
Yeah, it makes me excited about the future of the game. I still think there's a lot of ways that they're doing new things. Because you could look at some of these heroes and just be like, oh, they're a clone of X character. But
yeah,
they really make them kind of feel, especially with like an X-23. You know, on the surface, you could look at X-23 and be like, it's just a clone of Wolverine. But it's definitely not that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, there's those little bit of similarities because, you know, they are similar characters in the comics. But there's a lot of differences too, and that makes it nice. And just the mechanisms that they employed, like Domino's luck factor, it works. There's definitely luck to it, but you can mitigate a lot of that luck because it's a game.
Yep.
I think the introduction with Cable with side schemes has been great. Gambit and Rogue were pretty solid end of that previous cycle. Psylocke is very confusing, and that's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I like her play with her swords and knives. And then I think Deadpool brings a lot with the pool aspect and brings a lot of fan favorite things. I definitely say we didn't do it, but I think overall best graphic design art direction is probably Deadpool for sure.
Yeah, he had a lot of those nuancey fun things with, you know, the little face in the corner changing and kind of some of those 3D cards.
Yeah,
where they're all kind of breaking the fourth walls. Definitely they got to have fun with that one because they got to just kind of break all the probably traditional rules that they kind of abide by.
So, but yeah, I think this year was a very solid year for Marvel Champions.
Yeah, it was definitely a good year to get in and to see what the game potential is.
Yep. So definitely I'm looking forward to this Age of Apocalypse. I'm looking forward to seeing what heroes come out with them. Hopefully it's some fan favorites that we're waiting on.
Yep. This is probably some of my favorite X-Men related content. We got a lot of good stuff in Meet Genesis, but I always loved the Age of Apocalypse story and villain, and I still think we haven't seen some of my favorite X-Men that I'm hoping we get that are pretty popular.
Yeah. I mean, we still have a box to go, but I definitely feel that this, the mutant wave has been stronger than the Avenger wave. Or I don't know if saga, maybe not wave, the Avenger saga, the mutant saga.
Yep. Which makes me excited about the future, what other sagas they can put together.
Yep. It'll be interesting.
Yep. Then we can go to space. What? Which we already had the Guardians, so never mind.
I think we're probably heading towards like maybe dimensions, maybe?
I don't know.
Timelines? I don't know.
New York City. Down to Hell's Kitchen.
Hey, Hell's Kitchen.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. I'd like to dabble in some Daredevil shenanigans.
Yep. All right.
All right, man.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed our 2023 wrap up. And we would like to hear from you. Were our awards given out correctly? Or was there somebody more deserving of their award? Or your thoughts of some future content that might be coming to Marvel Champions? We'd like to hear about it. And you can let us know and reach out to us at marvelchampionspod@gmail.com. And we will do what we can to maybe have a chatting with chumps and talk about it in the near future.
For sure.
All right. As always, thank you for listening. And if you want to go from a chump to a champ, listen to the Marvel Champions podcast. Thanks.
Take care, all.